A service for the second Sunday after Christmas, January the 4th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text is from 1 Kings chapter 3. The king Solomon went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes, my commandments, as your father David did, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a vision. Then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for his servants. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A sermon now entitled, Wise and Discerning Minds. A daily challenge for people everywhere, every day, is making decisions. In life, we constantly must make them. Some are rather simple, with little consequences, like, what will I order from the menu at the restaurant? One has to study the items and decide what will satisfy his or her appetite today. But sometimes, when the food comes, you look over at what your dining partner ordered and think, "Now why didn't I order that instead?" No big deal, though. There's always next time. Other times, the decisions we have to make have larger consequences. For example, what will I do for a living? Who will I marry? How many children will we have? Where will we live? What house will we buy? Where should I invest my money? Most decisions are reversible if they don't work out. Sometimes we have to do that. However, it is so much better if we choose wisely the first time. Yes, what you and I require is wisdom to make the best decisions that we can. Experience gained over time, along with lessons learned along the way in the school of hard knocks, will hopefully help us to choose more wisely. But if the truth be told, older people are not immune from foolish decisions and their consequences. Today's Old Testament lesson on the second Sunday after Christmas is about Solomon, who is a young man in the process of taking over the throne of his father David. The kingdom was to be established in his hand. something about Solomon was that he loved the Lord just like his father David, and since there was yet no temple, the new king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. And it was there that the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, "Ask what I shall give you." Solomon, already wise beyond his years, knew what he needed the most. Instead of asking for himself a long life with wealth or for the death of his enemies, he instead prayed, "O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" Yes, Solomon understood that what he needed was the ability to make discerning decisions, not only for himself, but on behalf of those whom the Lord had set him over as king. We are then informed that it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life, or riches, or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you." As you and I begin a new year, 2026, may we also seek to be wise and understanding, especially when it comes to discerning the best decisions to make in life's circumstances. We don't know what the decisions will be before us this next year. Most will be of little consequence. However, there very well may be others that will have longer-lasting implications. They may not only impact ourselves, but also our loved ones. Here's some advice on how to make them, labeled the three C's of decision-making. First, clarify. Clearly identify the decision to be made or the problem to be solved. Second, consider. Think about the possible choices that would happen for each choice, as well as the positive and negative consequences for each choice. And third, choose. Select the best choice. Of course, as Christian people, we want to approach all decisions with prayer, admitting, as Solomon did, that we are only children, not able to understand what we are doing, and so therefore asking God for his fatherly guidance. We too, like Solomon, ask the Lord for wise and discerning minds as we consider, clarify, and choose. Sometimes it's nice when we don't have to decide at all. For example, it's kind of nice to go to a restaurant and simply tell the waiter, "I'll have the usual." Nothing to think about there. So too, a lot of decisions are already made for us in God's Word. Just consider the Ten Commandments. Say that it's the Sabbath. Should I go to church today? All things being equal, the answer is yes, according to the Third Commandment as well as other scriptures. Should I check in on my aging parents? The answer is yes, according to the Fourth Commandment. Should I give to the food bank and other aid agencies? Yes, according to the Fifth Commandment. Should I do everything I can to make my marriage work? Yes, according to the Sixth. Should I cheat on my taxes? No, according to the Seventh. Should I share gossip about another and thereby hurt his reputation? No, according to the Eighth. With these sorts of decisions, we are guided by the law of the Lord. Hence, in Psalm 19, Solomon's father David spoke of how the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous and altogether lovely. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Yes, thank God for the guidance we received from Him on how best to live and how to make good decisions based upon the Word of God. Other decisions, however, that we may have to make are not as clear in Scripture. As King of Israel, Solomon was soon to be faced with one. It had to do with two mothers and two babies, one child alive, the other deceased. Both women claimed the living one was theirs, and the lifeless one was the other's. Solomon had to make a decision as to which woman would be mother to the living child. How would he get to the bottom of it? DNA testing was not then an option. Well, with the blessing of the Lord, having been given a discerning and wise mind, Solomon said, "Bring me a sword." And so a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other." Then the woman whose son was alive said to the king, because her heart yearned for her son, "O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means put him to death." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." And then the king answered and said, "Give the living child to the first woman, and by no means put him to death. She is his mother." Getting to the bottom of the matter as he did caused all to stand in awe of the king, because they perceived that wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Hence, in addition to keeping the commands, we pray for discernment to make wise decisions. Also, we seek the Lord's guidance, which often comes through a series of open and closed doors. We take to heart these words of that Solomon would later pen in Proverbs chapter 3, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Fortunately, we don't have to choose God, for He has chosen us. As the sinners that you and I are, we would never choose the Lord. But fortunately, He chose us. This is borne out in our lesson from Ephesians, which states how the Lord chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. Now, there's a lot of mysterious teaching here, but the bottom line is that we don't choose God, for He has chosen us. And that's why Jesus came, in order that we might have redemption. We were redeemed when He grew both in stature and wisdom, that He might submit to the Father's will and die on the cross, shedding His holy and innocent blood for us. Through faith we receive what Christ did, washed in baptism. We are forgiven and given new life both now and in eternity. It is as certain as Christ's resurrection from the dead. And praise God, there is forgiveness in Christ, even for our bad decisions that are against Him. We do still choose sin, hopefully unintentionally, but sometimes not. We confess our sins, as we did corporately today. And God, who is both faithful and just, forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Assurance of His grace is further given us in receiving the Lord's Supper. As you and I embark upon a blessed new year, May the Lord bestow on us wise and discerning minds to make good decisions based upon His life-giving word, seeking His guidance through His gift of wisdom, who is Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. A blessed and happy New Year to all.